So I don't know how to introduce this next podcast. I'm here with Jared Buchanan, and
it's very endearing. You're like the kind of not sure where to go.
Yeah, well,
it's kind of your thing. It's good.
We talked a little bit before we hit record about contemplative prayer and what it means, and so that's what we want to do in this episode. We want to kind of flesh it out a little bit, and forgive me if I say it, but like a little bit of how to. Like, so we want some nuts and bolts. Yeah. I want my points. Yeah. I've been out of my Pentecostal church for too long. I don't want to give me some
this is maybe one of the few times in your life you'll actually get 4 points from me. So enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't listened to the previous episode, do yourself a favor and listen to that one first, because this is coming back. This is coming off the bat of that one.
The sequel.
Yeah, we're back. Okay, so yeah, take us through it. You're the.
I'm just someone who's been doing it very badly for a long time.
All right. Okay, we'll go with that.
But that's half of it, right? Like, is actually, it's a bit like parenting. It's just showing up. That's 90% of it. Like, if you can just keep doing it, that's part of it. Before talking how to's and everything, I think it's really important to get the heart of it right. There's lots of talk of meditation at the moment, and all different kind of meditation, and some of it not Christian, and some of it that's okay. Like, so there's lots of beneficial, just mindfulness in itself is a wonderful practice.
Essentially what I've been doing a lot. Yeah. I mean, some of it has been very prayer based, but most of the stuff that I've been doing, I found out tonight that it was actually Buddhist. But that's hey, I'm a
loving kindness meditation.
Like, switched off this episode straight away. Should have waited to the end to say that.
And sadly, that's where a lot of people go, right? That they don't realize the resources in their own tradition. That they think that to encounter this stuff, I've got to go to the New Age section and pick up a book by Eckhart Tolle or Ram Dass or, one of those Deepak Chopra or Oprah or
Google.
Or just Google something, that's right. Instead of realizing there is a deep tradition in which many Pentecostals would actually feel completely at home in, which is a surprising thing. Like, actually, oh, this is my language. This is my... And you don't have to immediately jump into, like, the 15th century Catholic mystics. In terms of the Puritan movement, in terms of 17th century and the Quaker movement, the kind of... similarities with some of this stuff to early Pentecostalism, I think some Penties and Charismatics would be surprised. But the important thing before you start talking about techniques, because people want to go, well, is the technique a Christian technique? Like, does it have the trademark next to it? Is it certified? The importance of contemplation is actually, or the importance of prayer generally, is not prayer, it's God. Which seems like a kind of obvious thing to say, but like, it's really important to say that that it's God that's at the center of this. And we were talking about our mate Justin before and some of his experience around this kind of stuff, and it wasn't him doing a course on Christian spirituality throughout the ages, but something that came up for him in prayer.
Yeah, right. So Justin, like, being Justin Lim, the other guy who usually speaks here, who's got the night off tonight, like, his kind of story, and I'm sure he doesn't mind me blabbering on his behalf, is that he would spend a lot of time very vocal prayer before God, and he felt God convict him to say shut up.
Yeah.
Just be quiet and be still and be silent and wait.
And my experience of the charismatic gifts was actually the opposite. It was contemplative prayer and receiving the gift of tongues in contemplative prayer.
Wow.
So it's the other side. But I've got a mate, Brian Zahn, and that's his story as well. Pastor of a massive Pentecostal church, front page of Charisma magazine, and God spoke to him about stop it and just spend time with me. And to talk about contemplative prayer is to actually talk about just, I call it relaxing in God's love. Brian has the helpful term of just sitting with Jesus. And that's really what it's about, is just being able to be present, not pushing for something, not looking for a breakthrough, not interceding on somebody else's behalf, not trying to sharpen your prophetic gifts for a particular moment, not looking for a word in and out of season for somebody else when it comes to worship on Sunday. It's actually just being with Jesus and being present to him. Rowan Williams is one of my theological heroes. He talks about prayer as making ourselves available to God. And contemplative prayer isn't about meditation. That word in the Christian tradition is, in the Christian tradition, you meditate on something. So you meditate on scripture, or you meditate on the cross, like Justin Langer was talking about when, who I've since learned is apparently played some sport or something.
It's pretty good too.
Yeah.
But
contemplation is actually about, the word contemplate doesn't mean to think. That's how it gets used in English language today. It means to see. So to contemplate someone is to look at them, to be seen by them and to see them. It's like, for me, that moment and reminder of that is at West City, we go forward to receive from the table, to receive the body and blood of Christ. And it's being eyeballed by another person and realizing that, as C.S. Lewis put it, this is the other sacrament is the person we receive communion from.
Oh, wow.
Which is incredible, right?
Yeah.
And what it is to just be with Jesus and just be in his presence and love him. So before we get to the techniques or whatever, that's the heart of it. And if with that heart you just spend time in the silence with Jesus, you'll get contemplative prayer. You'll come up with your own way. And there's different ways that are helpful and different ways that are not. Are there things that we need to be wary of? Yeah. Are you talking about the demonic imposing from outside? Sometimes, rarely, but usually it's just like our brokenness from the inside, and that's what really scares us.
Oh, right. Okay, so the more that we, get away from the noise of it all, it's kind of like that was the distraction that would actually hinder you from looking into yourself and seeing the true person is there.
The reason why the silence is so scary is not anything that will enter in the silence. It's the stuff that's already there that we just don't want to look at.
Yeah, wow.
It's all the internal noise.
Yeah.
It's all the stuff that, and not necessarily bad stuff, like realizing that our success wrongly names us as well as our failures. But all the things that people praise us for, that we start to think that's our identity, instead of how we're named in our baptism, as like, we're God's child in whom he loves, that we're in Christ.
I do like the term child of God, because it has a way of stripping away all of that stuff that people label us when we do something impressive from time to time.
And
it happens to us all.
And us proddies, we love to say to the Catholics, oh, Jesus says call no man father, but I do insist you call me Pastor Jared. And it's like, wait a second, have we just done the same thing with a different word? It's the same dynamics on it. Instead of how do we relate to each other where we... as it talks about, honor everyone, particularly those who are considered of lowly value. That's actually Christ-like honor. That's what it looks like. And how do we actually acknowledge our leaders? Like we're talking about Noel Vose earlier. He doesn't need a title like President of the Baptist World Alliance. It's the weightiness of God's presence that he carries, because he is a person of prayer and he's just spent a lot of time with Jesus. And you can tell those people, and they might have prophetic giftings, or they might move in words of knowledge, or they might have giftings around healing and that kind of stuff, and maybe their gift is hospitality or administration or things that are less flashy and don't really get talked about at conferences. But there is a weightiness of presence that only happens when Jesus starts to rub off on you. And you meet those kind of people and you're like, that's it. That's the real thing. That's not a gimmick. That's not about building a platform. That isn't about propaganda. That isn't spin. It's not advertising. That's actually somebody who is just as broken as me, but has learned to sit in the silence and let Jesus love them and then live that love. Mm. And that is what it's the only contemplative prayer that I'm interested in, is that. And for me, that came out of an experience of contemplative prayer where I had a word for myself, and that doesn't happen very often for me. Like, I often find it easier to hear from God for other people in right. ministry kind of settings than it is to, and it was so sweet, and spoke to like 5-year-old Jared. Like it took me straight back to Sunday school, and it was through you know, the song Jesus Loves Me This I Know.
Yeah.
It was literally that song.
Wow.
Only the lyrics were slightly changed. And like it was literally, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Spirit shows me so. To yeah. his Father we belong, in my weakness he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The silence tells me so. And I just cried and cried and cried and cried. And it's so Romans 8. Like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Spirit shows me so. The Holy Spirit always shows and points us to Jesus. The role of the Spirit and a Spirit-filled person is someone who points us to Jesus, and Jesus is seen in their life. And the reality of experiencing the Spirit and moves us into Christ, and how our true identity is hidden in Christ, is we know God as Abba. The intimacy where Jesus says, I am in the Father, and so also you will be in me. That as Jesus knows the mystery of God and dares to call him Abba, Father, that term Dada, the Abram, the term which is Father in the Aramaic, how a baby says that word is Abba.
Yeah, okay. So
and
it's
the
like
mystery,
Dada kind of,
exactly.
Yeah, wow.
The mystery that is God. Jesus says we relate to the mystery who created and sustains all things, who hears the cries of the oppressed, and whose heart is always to liberate out of whether it be ancient Egypt or the Egypt we find ourselves in today. That spirit we know with the intimacy of Abba. And to be in Christ and to be a spirit-filled person, it is to find ourselves relating to the mystery of God as Abba.
Right, so there's a couple of things from that I would like to ask a question about. The first one was, do you know if the term Abba had existed before that, or did he kind of conjure that up just out of his own experience? Is that...
Jesus would have said it as a kid. Like, it would have been one of his first words. Like, so in... Like, as all kids speaking Aramaic would...
No, but, like, did the term Abba Father, was that... Is that exist throughout Old Testament from anywhere else?
It seems a unique innovation in Jewish spirituality that is unique to Jesus.
Yeah, wow. See, that I didn't know that before. That's
and
really incredible.
So in John's Gospel in particular, you really see the religious authorities... from Judea push back their closeness with the temple in Jerusalem. They know that this is really threatening their power base and is pretty scary in terms of, like, Rome is really going to come down on him. And their whole thing is, like, you call God Father, you say he's your father. And the reason why that's so, like, at West City we've seen a number of friends over the last 2 years or so from Muslim backgrounds come to faith. And one of the things that's so radical for them is to call Allah Father.
Oh, wow.
Because you'd never call the God Father. It's way too personal. Okay. It's disrespectful. It's like God is beyond us. We can never know God. And yet when you meet Jesus, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So what the mystery of God is like, it's like Jesus.
Mm.
And so to be in Christ and to spend time in prayer, you get all the benefits of mindfulness in terms of that sense of calm, lowering of blood pressure, increased concentration, helpful for dealing with anxiety, helpful for dealing with depression, slow down, and you can pay attention to the repetitive thought patterns that we all have and become more conscious of that stuff.
Even concentrate more for, like, you know, the Sunday sermon.
That's right.
Yeah. I can, like, you know, I can enjoy Pastor Phil's.
That's right.
Sermons now.
Yeah. Instead of the constant.
I thought that he's like his, you know, ever since I've been doing this for the past month, I think his storytelling is getting so much more captivating.
It's I think there's a direct relation between.
you can almost hear his laughter in the background. Almost. So you get all those benefits, yeah, and Phil gets those benefits by osmosis of you doing that. But it's also intimacy with God. And so it's all the added bonuses of that kind of stuff. But if you seek that as the main thing, you'll receive that. But why not seek God and receive the kind of intimacy and all the benefits of that as well?
Okay, and so on that point, that's out of one of my other kind of observations about your song, really just about the changing of the Bible tells me so. Which is really, if you think about it, that's a pretty condescending way to look at God. Like, you know, you will know that Jesus loves you because you've been told in the Bible, and the Bible needs to be right, and you need to know that the Bible's right. You know, it's like a very non-relational way of thinking.
Whereas, and relational is the word, right?
Yeah, right.
Because prayer is about relationship with Jesus. Mm. Like, but the amazing thing for the song, for me, that brought me to tears, it's so deeply Trinitarian. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Spirit shows me so. So it doesn't displace the Bible.
Yeah.
But Jesus says that to the Pharisees, you study this day and night because you think by it you'll inherit eternal life, and yet here I am standing in your midst and you miss it. You guys are completely blind to it. Scripture has authority because the Spirit gives it authority.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a Pentecostal hermeneutic right there. Yeah, that's actually, we read Scripture through, and God doesn't stop breathing, didn't breathe it out and that was it. But continual inspiration of the Scriptures is an active thing that we return to through Jesus to the glory of the Father. There's the Trinitarian pattern that we're that life in Christ and prayer should drag us into.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Okay, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Like, I don't know, I can't get past that.
Mm.
Something that has only been really, that Beck and I have been able to explore, that we kind of, it was like right in front of us the whole time that we've been kind of missed, is the beauty of the Trinity.
Yeah.
And it's just its presence.
Yeah.
Mm.
That it's not a box to tick. It's not a doctrine to go, yep,
all things, yeah.
I believe that, but it's actually our experience in prayer.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. So
if you get the heart behind it, then there's the how. But that the heart is actually relationship with Jesus, deepening relationship with Jesus. And if anybody's listening and they're like, "Well, what kind of spiritual covering is over this? Like, how do I, it like spend time with Jesus? Satan can't get you. Like, you'll be sweet. Spend time with Jesus, you'll be sweet. Like, so that's the covering that you got. So the how is simply choosing a prayer word.
So it, and really it's your yes word. It's your yes and amen word. It's what is going to be the word where you say, God, this is my prayer that's going to say, you can get at me. And so it's one of my favorite Richard Rohr lines, actually. He says, how long should I pray for? And his answer is, until you can say yes. Until you can say yes to God. And I would apply that to actually looking for a prayer word. So there are ancient different prayer words that the early church were a part of early church worship. So the obvious one that every Pentecostal should go amen and feel familiar to is the name of Jesus. Like, so that's an easy one.
Yeah, right, okay. So
Jesus, that's a really good prayer word. Like, Abba is one of the most ancient prayer words that was used in the church. Maranatha, which means come Holy Spirit, or Spirit come, but it's that prayer for God to actually move in the world and move in me. Maranatha is one of those terms that there are writings in some of the church fathers that think that that's the word that Paul used for his prayer word. The Eastern church tradition, so not the Western church where you get Catholicism and Protestantism from, but people tend to forget that in the 10th century there was a big split, and you have Eastern Orthodox Church and then the Catholic Church and Protestant Church. But in the Orthodox Church, one of the most ancient prayers is called the Jesus Prayer, and it's from Luke's Gospel, and the story of the tax collector and the sinner in the temple. And tax collector prays, thank you God that I'm not like all these other people. And the Pharisee prays like that, and the tax collector he can't even lift his head to heaven, and he says, God have mercy upon me, a sinner. And in the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Jesus prayer is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner.
Oh, wow, okay, so I've heard that in movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's its source.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And it's a beautiful prayer, and it sounds kind of like, oh, why am I naming myself as a sinner? Shouldn't I be claiming that, like, I'm a child of God? Shouldn't I be speaking better things over my life? One of the incredible things about the Jesus Prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, is a sense of joy that accompanies the prayer. Which is incredible, but that's the testimony through the years, is that people who pray that and make that their prayer is a sense of joy that they live with. So it's that irony that when we can have the boldness to know that we're children of God, and actually because of that, be realistic that we're sinners, and experience God's kindness, God's tenderness, God's mercy, God's compassion towards us, there is this incredible joy that we live out of. But again, what's really important is the heart behind it. So the heart needs to be yes to God. So whether you choose Abba, Jesus, Maranatha, or the Jesus Prayer, it needs to be come with the heart that is
open.
So that's the first step. Choose a word and just stick to it.
Yeah.
It's not magical. It's actually about creating a neural pathway in your head, that this is a path that you continue to tread. So your time in prayer, it's easier to get back to that sense of being with Jesus. In the same way that we raise our hands in worship and I'm feeling the anointing now. It's because there's a neural pathway that when you have needed and wanted to declare God's goodness and give him all blessing and honor and glory and power, you've raised your hands in the past. And so doing that again, your body is already feeling that before your mood, and your mood will actually catch up. It's just a neural pathway. That's how our bodies work. And people are like, oh, it's not magical. No, it's not magical. It's just how it works. Mm-hmm. It's like the conversation we're having before, and someone having this powerful experience of Jesus coming to them for the first time. And he responded, I'm not sure if that was my imagination. Of course that was your imagination. That's how God speaks to us.
Yeah, right.
Is our imagination surrendered, not for evil, but for good. And God speaks to us through that.
Yeah.
There's this brilliant scene from a
movie about Joan of Arc, and she's on trial, and the inquisitors ask her, "Does God speak to you?" And she says, "Yes." And the inquisitor shoots back at her, "That's just your imagination." And her answer is, "Yes, that is how God speaks to me." And it's a perfect okay, well, response.
Yeah. I guess because the accusation that gets, the same accusation gets thrown around at us today.
Mm.
Like, we, you know, we experience God, or we have this moment or an encounter, whether it be in a church service or whether it be gazing at the clouds or something, and, you know, you just have that awareness of, oh my goodness, this, there's a God, or his love, or whatever it might be impressing.
Mm.
And then later on we think back on it and we go, no, that's stupid, that was just all in my head. And we discount the whole experience and throw the whole greatness of the moment out because we go, that was my imagination. Yes, it was a good experience, and yes, it was your imagination.
Yeah.
The two kind of work well together.
God can work, use your imagination. It's like God speaks through dreams as one of the major ways that God speaks to people in the Old Testament. And you're like, well, that's just my subconscious. That's just my psyche. Yeah, that's how God speaks to us. Mm. Like, that's how it works. So yeah. If the first thing is the heart behind it, the first part of the how is simply having a prayer word and being able to let that prayer word be a yes. The third thing would merely be to use your prayer word. And so it's allowing yourself to relax in God's presence. So I brought prayer stools. I use them because my legs don't go to sleep. I also like to kneel, and this is the way that Christians have prayed for, you know, 2,000 years. I think there's something to the fact that it's such an old...
We'll take a photo and we'll put it up, the prayer board. That can maybe be the image for this podcast episode.
And for me, it's also the discipline of, like, it means I sit in a different posture and I have a straight back. It's really hard to fall asleep, but there's no uncomfortability. And people are like, oh, why don't I learn the lotus position? I was like, sure, you can redeem something from a tradition that's not your own, but why not learn about the beauty of your own tradition? And prayer stools are a part of it, so why not enter in on that? And while sitting and while comfortable, it's just to slowly allow that prayer word to open your heart as, God, I'm just here, I want to spend time with you, I want to sit with you. I had this experience speaking at UWA years ago with Father John Deere, who Desmond Tutu nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. So this guy is like a hero of mine, is an incredible peace activist, and it's a mix of like a Christian crowd and people who are just interested. And a young activist who's clearly not a Christian asked the question about sustainability, like, how do you actually sustain this work over the long haul when things are so hard and all the rest? And I'm on the panel and I'm trying to think of something really wise to say that will hopefully make me look good and open them to the gospel. But probably my heart was in that order because I'm a sinner. And before I said anything stupid, mercifully, John Deere said, and this is how he talks. he says, "Well, every morning I sit opposite an empty chair, and in that chair I imagine Jesus just looking at me, and for 15 to 20 minutes every morning I let him look at me with that love that he has, and I just try and receive that love, and then I try and live the rest of my day looking at others as Jesus has looked at me." I was like, oh, mic drop. That's heaps better than anything I'd ever...
This huge sigh of relief from Jared.
And that's contemplative prayer. But the tricky thing is when, like, oh my goodness, like, I forgot that when I went shopping yesterday, and did I set up to record, like, that show I wanted to watch, and I didn't call that person back, and that's really important, and... have I got this for the kids' lunches tomorrow, and all the different things that come up, or just our anxieties around where's my life going, how long am I going to be in this job, am I really happy with how I'm performing at work, like all those things that come up. This is where the prayer word comes in, to return to, and with. So for me, my prayer word for years was Abba, but in the last 10 years has been Lord have mercy, which is a shorter form of
the Jesus prayer.
Yeah, and it's so deep for me now that when I get dumped and I'm really scared surfing, it's what comes up for me. There was a situation where it's replaced those panic words, and some of us have panic words from larger culture that you probably shouldn't say. My panic word now is Lord have mercy.
Wow.
Because it's so deep. And so literally I listen this year to a song by The Brilliance, and the lyrics are Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. Mm. I start my prayer time with that song, then I have 10 minutes, 15 minutes if I'm feeling really energetic.
So you listen to that song every day?
Yeah. As a way of starting.
I love that song. I'm very grateful. Thank you. So is my wife. We love that song.
Oh, it's incredible. And that just, worship music puts me in the kind of space where I can enter the silence and actually be focused on Jesus.
Mm.
And then with my relaxed breathing and sitting in an upright position to sit with Jesus, and when I feel myself drift off, to come back to Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, and just making sure that my heart is like, I'm here, I'm open, I just want to spend time with you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, and realizing that prayer works regardless of whether we have an encounter or not. And the test of mature Christian spirituality is actually showing up for prayer and actually just being with Jesus and desiring him and knowing that he will work and the Holy Spirit will work in us if we just give him what we've got, because that's what the Spirit does. And that sometimes they're incredible, like feelings that come along with that or visions or everything, and then sometimes there's not, and both are okay.
Yeah,
and both is part of the journey.
Yeah,
and so that's probably like the final point before the Lord's Prayer, which I always end with. Final point, and in my notes that I sent to you, the way I teach it when I'm teaching this stuff is: look, Jesus, squirrel, smile, and it's like I have ADD. Like I literally have to take medication.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because like for a lot of people who are maybe listening and going, man, this whole kind of prayer, right? Like, you're telling me that I have to, like, sit... I'm not saying that they have to, but if they want to try and take this on, like, that's going to be a lot of hard work to do that. So I just think that that's brilliant, that you have that kind of thing going on within you.
But that's why it's so good for me.
Yeah, like, exactly. And that's the whole thing, is that, yes... And this is why it's actually going to be good for you, because you have these things going on in your life. Yeah.
And just realizing that the look Jesus squirrel moments happen all the time. And like you're like, oh, in prayer time, and you become totally distracted. And sometimes by stuff that's really embarrassing. Thomas Merton, who's like this great, incredible spiritual teacher of the Christian tradition in the 20th century, he talked about in his journal of like dealing with thoughts of burlesque in prayer. This is this great Christian Trappist monk who's secluded himself from the world to dedicate his life to prayer. And he's like, I'm just thinking about women and skimpy outfits. That's and it's being able to laugh at those things and return our eye contact to Jesus and look at the way he smiles at us. And look at his kindness towards that, and be able to laugh at ourselves and just go, I'm ridiculous. This is crazy. And the final thing is, I always prepare my heart and take the time in silence to be getting my heart to the place where I don't merely desire to be present, which is a good start. It's not a bad thing being present, but I desire God's presence.
Okay.
And God's presence is something that's promised to flood all of creation. And so our prayer time should always end, it should always be with the King, Jesus, and realize that he's bringing a kingdom. So it's and this is one of the things that is different between Christian prayer and a lot of meditation that other people practice, is that you can be in a casino and be present but have no sense of what time it is. It's artificial lighting, it's constant bells, and so it's like the video game kind of, I'm here now, but there's nothing else. That's not the kind of presence that we're invited into in Christian prayer. The kind of presence we're invited into is God's future is wanting to break out in this moment. That God's kingdom is wanting to break forth in this moment. That underneath the surface of our repetitive thoughts and busy lives and anxieties and all the rest is this fertile ground of God's purposes that just waits for us to brush all that aside so we can see the beauty of it and live into it. And it's allowing our roots in contemplative prayer to go down deep enough that we can live out of that kingdom reality, which is just longing for our yes. It is just waiting for our yes.
Wow, great. That's really good, man.
I hope that helps. I hope
it helps me.
So the main thing, the heart.
Yeah.
The heart behind it. Desire Jesus. Seek first his kingdom. Then a prayer word. And let that prayer word simply be your way of saying yes. Keep going back to that prayer word. When you get to the look Jesus squirrel moments, look back at Jesus, see him smiling back at us, relaxing God's love, and then prepare our hearts. And I always finish with the Lord's Prayer. And suddenly, like, it means so much more to me than it ever has. Like, it's something that brings me to tears now because it's everything to me.
Wow.
I hope that's helpful.
I think it's certainly helpful for me. So it'll be interesting. Watch this space, folks.
If there are any heresy complaints, please send them to Justin Lim.
I am Justin. @baptistchurch.com.
Justin will personally respond to all of those complaints. Thank you, Brother Justin. And thank you, Pastor Phil.